Where does Golish sit in the SEC? What is up, everyone? Welcome in to the Barn Social Hour. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And as I said at the top of the show, let's just hop right into it. Where does Alex Golish sit in the SEC? Well, there's a list that is out as of, I guess, today from Crane and Cone on three. So I guess you can say this is technically on three through Crane and Co. But SEC head coach rankings, you have at number one. For those that can't see it, that are listening on podcast format, we'll just read. I'll read it from 1 to 16. You have Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, Mike Elko, Kalen DeBoer, Brent Venables, Clark Lee, EY Drinkwitz, Josh Heupel, Pete Golding, John Summerall, Alex Golish at 12, Shane Beamer, Jeff Lebby, Will Stein, and Ryan Silverfield. So basically, he's in the middle of the pack if you look at it like that. So, Graham, I kind of throw it to you. Too high, too low, just right, the sweet spot? Where are you thinking?
I think it's just right, like, because we haven't seen anything yet from Golish. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I agree.
The SEC is stacked with phenomenal coaches. I mean, like, I kind of want to go through the lists and sections as a whole. But like,
right,
you know, like one through four, really, I think is like your these are your solid coaches. You have Kirby Smart, who is, I think, no doubt the best coach in the SEC mm-hmm. right now, hands down. Lane Kiffin, we'll see what does at LSU, but clearly he's a good coach. He had Ole Miss competitive for multiple years. Got them to the playoffs, didn't coach in the playoffs, but got them there. Obviously, Steve Sarkisian, another phenomenal coach who's brought in good talent, had good quarterbacks. Mike Elko was a surprising one, I think, for a lot of people coming from Duke just a couple years ago. But ultimately, he's been a very good coach. Texas A&M has done really well under him and with Marcel Reed. So I think those four, that's like, yeah, that's a solid, that's your top four. I don't really have anything to change about that. DeBoer, I'm not as high on Kalen DeBoer as a lot of people are. I don't think he's that good of a coach. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Well, they're currently not recruiting well, I can tell you that.
No, they're not.
We'll see what happens with that. But Kalen DeBoer, Brent Venables, Clark Lee, Eli Drinkwitz, I kind of like those next four. I think they're kind of interchangeable. I think you could drop Kalen DeBoer a little bit. You know, I think Clark Lee should probably be at the bottom of this four. Eli Drinkwitz, I think, can move up a little bit, but I do kind of agree with this four. And then going to the next four, Josh Heupel, Pete Golding, John Summerall, Alex Golish. Now you're kind of getting into the new head coaches of this year. Obviously, with Pete Golding going into his first full season as head coach, he had some success in the College Football Playoffs, winning some games, getting all, ultimately to the quarter or to the semifinals. And so he, you know, I do like we're putting him there. Like, obviously, he doesn't have a season yet, but clearly he's good enough to beat some of the best teams in the country because he did. Now, part of that was, you know, Kiffin's OC was still calling the plays.
Right.
The end of the day. But then you have John Summerall and then Alex Golish. So two guys, you know, obviously Auburn wanted Summerall. That kind of seemed to be the plan. That kind of fell through. Golish was the next guy up. Golish got the job. I think Golish has done a really good job. I think we're better off with Golish personally. But interchangeable right there. I think ultimately, you know, we'll find out, you know, week one of SEC play, who's the better coach. I mean, that'll just be a straight up head-to-head matchup. I think both guys are good coaches. I really do. And I think Golish is probably a little bit better. But again, we have nothing to base it off of yet in the SEC for either of those guys. Shane Beamer, he could be good at South Carolina. He just hasn't had the most success. Supposed to have a good quarterback in Lenora Sellers. We'll see what Lenora says mm-hmm. this year. Didn't have a great year last year, but 2 years ago was really good. So we'll see what that looks like. And then Jeff Lebby, it's Mississippi State. There's not much you can do with that job. It's hard to coach Mississippi State.
Yeah. Got cowbells.
And then the final two is Will Stein and Ryan Silverfield. And I agree with those. I just think because of the unprovenness, it's hard to rank those. And I think Golish, so basically with all that said, I think Golish is in the right spot here. He's ahead of a lot of the new guys. But he's not the very back of the pack. He's even ahead of some returners. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think goals could prove a lot of people wrong, but at the end of the day, I think it makes sense putting him there to start off the season before we kind of get going, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I like the list. I feel like you could interchange, you know, DeBoer on that side, you know, on that part of the list, you know, maybe a spot or two down. But I think personally, Golas should be above Summerall. Personally, I know we haven't seen what he's done on the field yet. I know that's kind of like the next big thing because, you know, of the recruiting. But the whole reason I'm saying what I'm saying, why he should be above Summerall, is because he is absolutely blazing on the recruiting trail right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have not seen anything about Florida picking up anybody personally. Either that Florida, or I'm just out of the loop.
Florida in May, or it might have been really early June, went on a – I think it might have been May, but went on like a crazy tear where they just started like – I mean, it was every day they're getting like four or five guys, it felt like. And it has slowed down a ton since then. I think Summerall just spent a lot of money really early on in this cycle.
Well, yeah, they got a lot of people in the portal. But that was like kind of their bread and butter.
But he did have there's about a week there where they really hit the recruiting hard, high school recruiting, and got a lot of guys. And I think part of the reason that Summerall is above Golas on the playoff, you know, on this list, is Summerall did go to the playoffs. He took Tulane to the college football playoffs. Alex Golas did not take USF to the college football playoffs, and so I get the argument there of being like, yeah, he could be a better coach because he did take a team to the playoffs and Golas hasn't. So
it's fair. Yeah.
That's kind of like where honestly, to me, that's probably the biggest factor of why he's even ahead of him. I really do think that Golas and Summerall are pretty even at head coach.
I agree.
I think they will both do well in the SEC. And so, yeah, I think that's going to make for a really good week one matchup for SEC play. And yeah.
Yeah, I think, because that's our SEC opener. That's what I was about to say. Like, the fact they're that close together on the list just makes the hype for that game, to me, more, and for any Auburn fan or even Florida fans, more exciting because of the implications of that game. Because it's technically, in a way, it's the goalish rematch for Florida. Like, they're going to get theirs type of thing, but they're having to come to our place, which is not easy to do. I know the past couple of years it has been for some teams, but new slate, clean canvas. We'll see what happens.
First SEC game, I think Jordan Hare's team is going to be bumping.
Yeah, it is going to be bumping, jumping, rocking, you name it, whatever you want to call it. The jungle will be loud, loud and proud for sure. But I think that
is it a night game?
It is. It is. It's the
Florida game is a night game.
Yeah, because we have Auburn, Baylor, and Atlanta, then Southern Miss at night,
and then Florida.
And then Florida at night. Right. And then that's when our schedule gets so with the times. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know what noise that just made.
Is going to be bumping.
Yeah, it is. I can't wait. I kind of want to go to that game. I'd rather be covering it or just going to go as a fan. I'm gonna try to work an angle for sure. If you have a student guest pass.
Yeah.
But you know what else is cool that you can sport at the games if you go? AUShirts.com. Get all your gear from all the shows at the Barn. You see some of the options on your screen there. You have the Barn Hard shirt. You have the FE Iron shirt. If you know, you know. The Boog shirt, the C5 hoodies, and the Boog hat. We have some other options on there as well. We add new styles weekly. I've said it before. I'll say it again. We are working feverishly to get the Social Hour shirt approved. We have some mock-ups. We're just trying to figure out which ones are the best ones that y'all will like and support. But I've said it before that if you support AUShirts.com by supporting your gear, whether it be at home on a game day, at a tailgate, or in Jordan Hare Stadium, or if you're on the road and if you go to an away game, be sure to tag me, Graham, or the Barn and let us know you're sporting your gear from AUShirts.com. We'd love to shout you out on the show if you do that. So please support AUShirts.com to get all your gear from all the shows at the Barn.
Also go to buyauburn.com and be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you're an Auburn business owner or an Auburn fan and you have your own business, then go to buyauburn.com today to sign up to get your business on the index so that fans all over the country can support your business whenever and wherever they can. I know just today Kyle tweeted out that he was in search of Auburn restaurants and bars, Auburn owned restaurants and bars all over the country. Doesn't matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know of any, please reach out to Kyle, send those out there. Let's get this index growing. Let's get this as big as possible so that we can support the family, support each other. Like I said, it's just a great way to keep up with everybody and to support each other. So go to buyauburn.com today to sign up or to check out and search the index.
Yes, please do that. And like Graham said, Kyle is in search for some businesses. So please reach out to him in regards to that. Because again, what's holding back from checking that out? It's growing every single day. It's not just one or two, it's handfuls of businesses being added every single day to a massively growing index. So again, that is buyauburn.com. And we thank them for being a sponsor of the Barn Social Hour, as well as ashirts.com. Graham, moving on to the back end. This is going to be a fun, very fun topic. I saw a tweet from SEC Country that caught my eye as I was scrolling, like, what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to talk about? And I figured this would be a good back end thing, more of a fun thing. It was a tweet from SEC Country. I got to give where credit is due. If we can go ahead and throw that up on the screen. You need a touchdown to win the game with 2 minutes remaining. Which SEC quarterback legend are you taking with the game on the line? And it says you have the ball with 2 minutes left. Which QB do you want? Cam Newton from Auburn, Tim Tebow from Florida, Joe Burrow from LSU, or Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M? Graham, I throw it to you.
This is easy. Yes. And it doesn't matter what I say here. People are assuming me to say that you're biased. If I took all bias out of this and I focus strictly on gameplay and film and just aura and like studness, I'm picking Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
It's no question. Cam Newton, in my opinion, and again, I'm trying to take bias out of this. I know it's hard to, I don't know, whatever. Is the greatest college football player of all time.
I agree.
It's not even close, in my opinion. Well, I agree. It could be close. There's some other guys out there.
I mean, those four
right here are pretty, the top.
That's my Mount Rushmore,
yeah,
to me.
I'll say, this would be top four right here. Yeah. I mean, these guys just did it differently in college sports. But Cam Newton was just unbeatable. I mean, quite literally, he didn't lose a single game at Auburn. He took a team that, if without Cam Newton, might not have even gone 500. Let's be so real.
Yeah.
And took that team and won a national championship with them. So I don't even think it's close. I want the ball in Cam Newton's hand 10 out of 10 times, 11 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
I think he could get the job done. Now, if I had to pick somebody else, I think my second go-to here. Wow. Okay. Now this is where it gets tough.
I know. That's what, when it gets to me, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to catch some strays from people I already know.
I'm going to go. Okay. I'm going to go freshman year, Johnny Manziel.
Okay. Yeah.
Freshman year, Johnny Manziel.
As your number two option?
Yep.
Okay.
But okay. Just freshman year.
I mean, that's the year he won the Heisman, so that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. I would pick Cam for sure, taking the bias out of it. My second option, I'm gonna go from like 1 to 4. How about that?
Yeah.
Cam would be my first option, no doubt in my mind. I agree with everything you said. I think without him, we're pushing 500, best 8-4 that year. Maybe get some, not maybe 9 wins, maybe. But without him, we don't win that title game. And you know, he didn't get a Heisman. So I'm taking Cam all day as my option for if you have the ball with 2 minutes left and that's who you need to score, I'm picking Cam. My second, I'm going to go with Joe Burrow just because, and I know everyone's going to be like, oh my God, well, Tim Tebow, what? I know, but I think if LSU had someone like Brett, Musburger, is that his name?
I don't know.
Garrett, whatever the old quarterback name is that they had the other, I don't know, like last year. Like, I don't think they even win the title. Like, you can have Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, you know, back there, you know, catching everything thrown to him.
But LSU?
Yeah.
Oh, Garrett Nussmeier.
I don't think Garrett Nussmeier does what he, you know, you put him in place of Joe Burrow that year to win the title. I don't think they're blowing teams out in the playoff.
No.
Yeah. So I'm taking Joe Burrow as my second option, then Tim Tebow, and then freshman Johnny Manziel, personally.
I think I'd put Joe Burrow third, and then Tim Tebow fourth for me.
Okay. Yeah. To me, Johnny Manziel is good, but whenever I think of Manziel, I can't help but think in 2013 when we went up there and, you know, we had him dead to rights behind the line. Like that for the last like minute of that fourth quarter, we were pinning him down every single time. It didn't matter who it was. Like someone was getting back there and he was getting sacked, and we ended up, I think he ended up injuring his shoulder, I want to say. And then, like, he came back in and tried to make magic happen. It couldn't happen. So that's just why he's down there. And then I like Tim Tebow, but, you know, he's more of a, to me, he could throw in college, not as much in the NFL. But I just, Joe Burrow is no question. Like, if Cam is not on this list, I'm taking Joe Burrow all day, every day, personally. Yeah. Just because, like, every throw that he had that year for LSU when they won the Natty was on the money. I'm talking pure as ice in his veins. Like, it's just, he's so smooth, so poised. It just made sense. But Cam is obviously my pick. I mean, I'm trying to take the bias out of it. I know people are not going to accept that because we're an Auburn show. We're Auburn podcasters. But yeah, I think Cam overall, if you want to get the ball in the end zone and you have to guarantee a win, that's the guy you want. I just think there's no question about it. And my argument for that is the LSU game where he just would not quit running. Like, people are like, we can go ahead and take the graphic off, but like, people running after him and bodies are flying everywhere and he's just kind of stumbling and he's like, not, you know, it's not, nothing's phasing him. And then him and Patrick Peterson lock eyes on that Heisman run, and he just goes, just like, it turns on like that third gear and is gone and drags his behind into the end zone. Patrick Peterson's behind into the end zone. And that's the iconic, you know, where he was like looking around. He's like, okay. All right. Yeah. That I just did that. So that's just, you know, that's where Super Cam came into play. And then, you know, obviously he adapted that in the NFL with the whole, that celebration, which I did a lot as a kid, growing up. So, but yeah, I think that is, man, the dab. I haven't seen that in forever. You just like unlocked the memory vault right there. But that's insane.
That's what I did, bro. He Superman that thing, and then he dabbed.
I remember I think they were playing the Titans. You remember this? Whenever they were playing the Titans, and that one guy was so pissed because they were down by like two touchdowns and he kept dabbing in his face. He goes, "No, you ain't gonna do that here." And he goes, "Well, then stop me." Oh, man. Yeah, Cam is hilarious. That and the, I want to say it was Christian McCaffrey's rookie year. Do you remember this? Whenever they're playing the Packers.
I was probably too young. Think about this, though. 2000, he was drafted in what, 2011? 11, bro. I was 6 years old.
Okay, well, this was McCaffrey's rookie year. This is like fairly recent.
McCaffrey's been in the league for a minute.
Well, not fairly recent, but you know what I mean. Like, more recent than Cam being drafted, I'll say that. But it's McCaffrey's rookie year. They're playing the Packers, and Clay Matthews, you know, Cam's about to, you know, snap the ball.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
This, yeah, he goes, "Is that wheel route? Is that real route?" And he goes, "Oh, you've been watching film, huh? Okay, hell, that's funny. Watch this." And they just do like just a simple, just like route, just whoop, whoop, like that. It wasn't even a real, it was just very simple cut back and cut in and touchdown. It was, that's one of my favorite things. And McCaffrey's like, "Dude, that was hilarious." Like, there, if you watch the mic'd up of that, he was like, "Dude, that was funny." He goes, "I know, right?"
Prime Cam Newton was different, bro.
Dude, it was something else. His rookie year, when he won rookie of the year, the league was not prepared for how quick he was. But I think his best play as a Panther was when it was Monday Night Football. They're playing the Patriots, who were still in their, I would say, their prime in a way, but they were on the back end of their dynasty, if that makes sense. But Monday Night Football, they're playing in Carolina. It's a blackout game. They're wearing the blacked out jerseys, and Cam is scrambling for his life. And he goes, like, he is running and then stops and jumps back, and two Patriot guys just go poof like that. And then he cuts around one of them on the left and just keeps going. And he ran for like another 15, 20 yards, I want to say, before he got stopped. But I was like, bro. Like, that's just, that's absurd. That it's insane. But yeah, that's really all we got for this show. But if you like what you're listening to and what you're watching, please be sure to subscribe and follow, hit the like button, turn on notifications wherever you watch or listen to us. Cause we have other great podcasts like the one you're listening to now, the Born Social Hour. We also have the Top Button Podcast, Village Vice, the Baseball Show, the Basketball Show, Landing on the Plains, Return to Wooten. We have options for everybody because we're your number one source for anything and everything Auburn sports. And yeah, just be sure to hit that like button, subscribe, turn on notifications so you don't miss anything from us. And yeah, we will be back tomorrow as always. Everyone have a great rest of your night. And as always, 4 damn. We'll see you next time.
See ya.